Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished entrepreneur, professional from the world of finance, Cheryl O'Connor from the US. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Cheryl is the CEO and co-founder of Income Conductor. She was awarded the first prize in the FFIT Female Founders in FinTech, and she's been recognized, awarded, and felicitated several times. So Cheryl, let's talk about Income Conductor. You say that you give your clients the confidence to retire and the comfort to enjoy their retirement. Let's start with my asking you about Income Conductor and what do you do?
Well, Income Conductor is what they call a SaaS, mm-hmm. a software as a subscription service, mm-hmm. Technology. And it's mostly for advisor use at this point.
Okay.
Although it's a very intuitive technology and it allows advisors to engage their clients, mm-hmm. No matter what age, in preparing a plan, a mm-hmm. customized plan for them mm-hmm. for retirement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what made you select supporting retired people as a profession?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wasn't always focused on retirement. I mm-hmm. started an asset management firm with my husband and a partner back in 2006. Mm-hmm. And 2 years into that venture, mm-hmm. of course, you know what happened in 2008.
Yeah.
So we had a huge market crash and most of the clients' accounts that we were managing for advisors through what's called a TAMP, a turnkey mm-hmm. asset management program. Mm-hmm. Many of them were retirees. So these were people who were no longer working and they were taking money from their investment accounts.
Okay.
And I noticed something very interesting. There was a large portion of these accounts where the clients did not call us. They mm-hmm. weren't nervous. They didn't ask to go to cash. They didn't even want to rebalance their portfolios. Mm-hmm. So I found this very interesting that this particular group of retirees felt so comfortable mm-hmm. to ride through what was really the largest market downturn, at least in recent history.
Correct. Correct.
So I started looking into who did these clients belong to mm-hmm. and what were these advisors doing? And a lot of the advisors that were using a certain distribution strategy that was developed by an advisor out in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And he had looked at this problem of retirement back in the 1980s.
Right.
And developed what was really the first bucketing or segmented approach to distribution. So that's when I became interested and started to learn more about his strategy, started to do research in, you know, who were the thought leaders out there in retirement? Mm-hmm. And there really weren't many.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, there was a very small handful of people in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and across the world who were looking at this problem. And yet, mm-hmm. as you know, because we're both baby boomers, mm-hmm. Millions of baby boomers were on the verge or already moving into retirement.
Correct.
And this was a unprecedented wave of assets moving mm-hmm. from accumulation while they were working into distribution.
Correct.
And as you know, retirees are very different now from what they were even a decade or two ago.
Absolutely right. Well said. And you know, I've often said this to many people, that people who are in this early 60s now have probably, you know, given up all their liabilities. Children have probably been fully educated, married, maybe grandchildren, mm-hmm. financially secure. And I've asked marketers, why don't you see what you call the 60 plus as a potential market? Because they would be willing to spend any amount of money on themselves, but that's another question. But
well, we do have advisors in Australia who concentrate on this market, so we can talk about them a little bit later. But I feel like you do that this is not only one of the greatest needs, it's one of the greatest opportunities in the marketplace right now, because at least in the U.S. by 2030, this baby boomer demographic in retirement will hold 70 to 80% of the wealth in the U.S.
Absolutely.
That's a big number, and those people need help. So that's a great market to concentrate on.
Fantastic. So Cheryl, based on your working with so many retirees, what are some of the key financial challenges a lot of retirees face?
Yeah, so we talk about the risks in retirement as being very specialized, and they're certainly not consistent across the world. Some risks are, some aren't, based on the support that the society gives the retiree. But at least in the U.S., you know, there's a risk of not having enough guarantees. So in the U.S., there is the Social Security system, which, you know, sometimes keeps up with inflation, sometimes doesn't, and is dependent on the government to continue funding it, you know. But then there's risks that everybody faces, and that's longevity risk. People are living much longer in retirement. You know, even two decades ago, when somebody would retire, they probably would die within 12, 15 years of retirement or earlier. Now people are living 30 or more years. You know, we have a lot of octogenarians and, you know, out there, and and people living over 100 that are still functioning very well, that are still in good health. So that's a huge risk, you know, just making your money last. The other risk is inflation risk. So the longer you live, the more your money has to keep up with that inflationary rate. And we've seen, especially recently, you know, very high inflation, probably due to supply chain issues and COVID-related circumstances. But that can be very damaging to somebody's retirement plan when all of a sudden, you know, their spending power is diminished by, you know, a third or a half.
Correct.
They can no longer meet even their basic obligations like housing and food and heat, never mind, you know, the things they would like to do, like travel and, you know, gifts for grandchildren and things like that. So those are risks that are very critical. And also, in the U.S., we do not have universal health care. So healthcare is very expensive, and it's very complicated. And it's one of the major causes of bankruptcy in retirement in the U.S. So I have experienced the Australian medical system while I was visiting there. I went to a hospital in Adelaide and experienced excellent care, you know, and in the U.S., not many people have access to that.
True. Very well said. And, you know, you just said something which is I've been speaking about, which is that given the longevity now and the years that we will live post superannuation, our life post superannuation could almost be equal to our working life.
Exactly. So, it's a whole other career, right?
Correct. So as a financial advisor, how do you make ends meet, or what is your advice for people to make ends meet, you know, given the fact that money is reducing it, you know, in size because of inflation?
And that's the critical question, right? So what we set out to do with this strategy and this technology was to give people an actual customized plan based on their what we call liability needs. So, you know, if you're looking at a pension, you're looking at your funding versus your liabilities. Mm. So can you meet your liabilities with what you have saved and what you're contributing? Mm. But you don't know that unless you can create a customized plan. Mm. And at least the technologies and the strategies that financial advisors have been using up to this point, mm-hmm. what they do is they collect all of the client data, mm-hmm. and then they run these simulations using Monte Carlo analysis. Mm-hmm. And they'll look at, you know, 50,000, 100,000 potential outcomes of investing your money over a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, okay, so if you're going into retirement and you need this starting monthly income to grow at a 3% inflation rate, or this cash flow, you have a 70% chance of success.
Okay.
And so as a retiree, if I'm, or even, you know, somebody who's looking to retire, mm-hmm. if somebody gives me a report and says, you have a 70% chance of success of mm-hmm. not running out of money, mm-hmm. that means you have a 30% chance in retirement of going completely broke.
Mm-hmm.
I would not feel confident giving up my job and going into retirement. You know, think about any other, you're an aerospace engineer. If you got on a plane and the pilot said, welcome aboard, you have a 70% chance of reaching our destination today, you probably wouldn't stay on that plane.
Correct.
So what the financial services industry has been giving retirees for decades is that probability of success. And we're saying that is not what retirees need. That's mm-hmm. not what they want. They want to know, can I meet my liabilities? Can I customize a plan so mm-hmm. that I know I can pay my bills, I can meet my special goals, mm-hmm. you know, I can put some money aside for my children when I pass on, all of those things that are personal to you, because mm-hmm. no two retirements are alike.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But then once you create that plan, that's just step one.
Mm.
Then you move into retirement with confidence, but then things are going to happen over 20, 30 years. True. You know, your needs are going to change. Mm. The market is going to change. Maybe taxes and, you know, regulations will change. Mm. So what Income Conductor does is give the advisor the ability, mm. the advisor and the client, the mm. ability to know how their plan is performing every single day mm. with actual data, mm. not probabilities. So you can make a decision if the market's doing really well and you have an opportunity to protect your income by reducing the risk in your portfolios or taking it out of the market entirely because you've met your goal to reach your liabilities for mm-hmm. that time period, that's what it's all about. You know, mm-hmm. we call it reliable ongoing income, mm-hmm. you know, the new ROI. It used to be return on investment. Now it's reliable ongoing income.
Fantastic. So Cheryl, you know, you give me a little understanding of Income Conductor. Mm-hmm. At what stage of one's life should one start to reach out to a platform like yours to say, Cheryl or Income Conductor, help me with my planning? I'm sure we don't want to leave it till the day we walk away post-superannuation.
Absolutely. You know, and at least in the U.S. where we do not have pensions,
mm-hmm.
We, as soon as you start working, mm-hmm. we encourage people to use the savings vehicles, whether, you know, they have a defined contribution plan, mm-hmm. a 401k plan at their workplace, mm-hmm. or if they don't have access to a plan mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. then open up an individual retirement account and mm-hmm. start to, even little contributions every month go mm-hmm. a long way, because over that long period of time, you're going to take advantage of the market and compounding, mm-hmm. right? So start as early as possible. And we encourage our advisors, we do a lot of training on retirement, and mm-hmm. we say, you know, you can start creating a retirement plan with your clients when they're in their 20s and 30s. Mm. Make sure that they're saving enough to reach their goals, and they're putting the money in various places that have different tax treatments, so that as they get closer to retirement and they have a better idea of what retirement looks like for them, then you can start putting more details in the plan, you know, but give them a basic plan early on and make sure they're saving enough, and then add more details and customize that plan more as they get closer to their retirement age goal.
Wonderful. And is Income Conductor currently only US centric, or is it available in some other countries as well?
No, we have, as I said, we have advisors in Australia, their retirement advice center. David Reed heads that group up there in New South Wales and Queensland. They are retirement experts. They use our technology. And we have advisors in Canada using it. So it is not US specific. It allows people to create plans regardless of their retirement structure or environment.
Amazing. Amazing. So Cheryl, I'm now going to move to the next segment of our conversation. You are the global ambassador for Kesne. I hope I've got the pronunciation right. Kesne Inc., an organization that promotes female founders in technology around the world.
Exactly.
Tell me about the venture and the role you play in mentoring the.
Well, I was lucky enough to learn about the organization, which is based in New York City, in 2018, right after we had started the company, and applied. It was a global competition, so I really didn't think I had a shot. But there were hundreds of women around the world. But I was informed I was one of the five finalists. And so we went down to PayPal headquarters in New York and presented, and I won first prize. So I was very lucky. It's a wonderful organization. As you know, it's very challenging for women founders, women entrepreneurs to receive any kind of venture capital funding. I think the stats, at least a couple of years ago, were 2% of all VC funds went to women-led companies. I think that number last year jumped up to a whopping 3%. So we're going in the right direction, but certainly not at the right velocity. And, you know, that's very frustrating, because people have shown through studies that women-led companies return twice on capital investment that male-led companies do. So if you're a smart venture capitalist and you're looking for a good ROI, you know, women-led companies are a very good bet. And so I was very impressed with how this company was really supporting women around the world, regardless of what sector they were in. So there was a huge range of people doing various things in different sectors. And they asked me to stay on and be one of their ambassadors and just sort of mentor people who are coming in to their subsequent competitions. And their competitions have expanded. So now they have not only female founders in fintech, they have insurtech, they have mobile tech, mobility tech. And so, you know, the more areas they expand to, the more opportunities there are to provide, you know, shine a spotlight on these very talented women around the world, many of whom are very young. You know, they're either in college or graduate school or just outside of college. So it's wonderful to see that entrepreneurial spirit catch on among women.
Fantastic. And are there a lot of women who are being mentored through this organization?
I've gone through a couple of phases of their competition and mentored probably about five or six. And then also suggested, you know, connected with women on LinkedIn. In fact, one of their last first place winners was a woman up at MIT. Who I contacted, and she was a young, she's in her 20s, and I contacted her through LinkedIn and told her about this competition, and she applied and she ended up winning first place. So
wow. Fantastic. Yeah. So Sheila, I'm now going to move to the last segment of our conversation. You also work with the Connecticut Technology Council. Mm-hmm. And you're the vice chair of the executive committee. Tell me about the kind of work you're doing there.
Yeah, so I got involved with the Connecticut Technology Council. First of all, the Technology Council is a nationwide organization. So every state has a Technology Council. Mm-hmm. And I got involved because when I started my firm, it was very difficult to locate the resources around our state that would support me as an entrepreneur. There seemed to be very disparate groups doing different things. Some of them overlapped. And so I was working with an angel investor who was the treasurer for the Connecticut Technology Council, and he nominated me for the board. And so I got involved probably about 3 years ago. And then 2 years ago was nominated for the executive committee. But our goal is to kind of be an overarching organization where all of these other organizations that focus on specific sectors or specific phases of a company's life cycle. You know, we have biotech in, we have a lot of government, you know, Department of Defense industry in Connecticut. We've got wonderful universities that have incubators, University of Connecticut, Yale. So bringing all of these entities together, networking them, you know, doing education, doing resource sharing, we feel will strengthen not only the current infrastructure, but attract new technology entrepreneurs to found companies here, to grow companies here, because there'll be a lot of support. So it's a independent organization, but it includes both private, nonprofit, and government entities under it.
Wow. Sheryl, on that note, I think now we're running out of time, but I'm quite amazed at the amount of work that you're doing. And as you were talking, I was thinking on the one side, it is the baby boomers, the retirees. And on the other side, there are these very, very young startup women entrepreneurs, you know, and you know, you seem to be enjoying yourself talking to the very young and to the people who are beginning to superannuate or have superannuated. But thank you for talking to me about Income Conductor, about the work that you're doing to support so many of these retirees. I wish there was something like this across the whole world. I mean, in India, we have the same challenge. And thank you for talking to me about the amazing work that you're doing mentoring women.
You're very welcome. And thank you for allowing me to speak with you and your audience.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.